Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, paid the price. Wanna slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life.
Welcome to Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com, live in studio on a frigid Tuesday afternoon. Jeffrey Chedilla of NFL Network will be joining us in the second segment around 3:30. Darren re-upped his bet with him, so I know Darren's feeling good. But let me ask you anyways, Darren, how you doing?
Doing okay, man. All things being equal, man. Could be worse. Could be a Buffalo fan.
Come on.
What?
Come on. Soon? Those fans have been through enough.
Too soon.
What was it, four straight Super Bowls? Three straight, four straight, and lost them all?
Yep.
Up. Three with 13 seconds.
We save them the agony of having to, you know, go through it again.
That has to be one of the most. Think of that. You always think of the Browns, right? When you think of franchises who have been so starved, right, for success. You think of even the Detroit Lions. But think about the Bills. Four straight Super Bowls, nothing to show for it. You lose to Kansas City and Mahomes. What, back-to-back years in the playoffs when you think you might have a chance, especially this one. True. I almost feel bad for Buffalo fans.
I don't feel bad at all. But I'm heartless. Petty that way.
You're heartless.
I'm petty.
What'd they do to you?
Well, you
besides jumping through tables.
Well, I mean, you have to remember, they did keep Kansas City at the Super Bowl, what was it, 93? So, yeah.
No. So we're going back. We're
feeling a certain kind of way.
Petty Patrick. Petty Darren. Well, the big news coming today, Sean Payton stepping away as head coach after 16 years with the New Orleans Saints. It sounds like, though, he's not stepping away necessarily from football.
He's stepping away from the Saints.
He's stepping away from the Saints. What was your initial reaction when you heard this?
One, it was a little bit long overdue. I mean, he's actually, I think, speaking at the podium now, I think, he's addressing the media now after stepping down as a head coach, which I'm shocked they let him do because generally if you step down, like, you don't work here no more, you can leave. But I'm not surprised. I mean, he's been under, you got to remember, it seems like he's been under a lot of stress the last few years. Mm-hmm. You know, losing that conference game, against the Rams, wasn't it?
On the blown call.
Yeah, on the blown call. And, you know, and then, of course, trying to run it back, over the last couple of seasons and then this past year without Drew Brees. He took care of Taysom Hill, you know, before he left.
Yeah.
But, I'm not surprised, but I think this is also his way out from New Orleans and possibly end up in Dallas or someplace.
Yeah, because he's very close with Jerry Jones. I think it is a little interesting. You bring up a good point. The amount of stress that he's been under the past few seasons. First it was the no call. Then it was Drew Brees' final season when Drew Brees couldn't throw the ball. And you had to stick with him because you're not going to go away from a Hall of Fame quarterback. You're not going to all of a sudden put in Jameis, although you and I both agree Jameis Winston would have been a world of difference in that game in the playoffs. But I understand it's a tough position to be in. Saying, am
plus,
I gonna,
he also didn't have Michael Thomas. That hurt.
This year didn't have Michael Thomas. Alvin Kamara was in and out the entire season, maybe played in half the games. Michael Thomas was in zero games. You have your starting quarterback, Jameis Winston, get hurt.
Yeah, but he still had a hell of a defense, though.
He did, but then you have Taysom Hill get hurt, and you're on your third-string quarterback in Trevor Siemian. He was dealing with a lot, and by the way, dude can obviously still coach because that team still went 9-8 this year. Defense is good, sure, But going 9-8 with a combination of Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, and Trevor Siemian at quarterback, with no Michael Thomas, no receivers basically at all, and your best running back, your weapon, hurt half the year, it was impressive. But that takes a toll on a man.
And I'm not sure. Oh, so he still has 3 years left on his contract with them. So I don't know whether or not they're going to just let him out of his contract or if they're going to try to hold him to keep him from, you know, coaching with another team. I'm not sure how they're going to do that. But
I believe the current rule that I heard today was if another team picks him up and he coaches that team. So say, for example, Dallas. Say Dallas says, Sean Payton, you're a new head coach. They have to give a pick or two away to the Saints. Draft pick. I don't know the exact number it is. I don't know what pick it is. That was what I heard today. If they wait a year, I believe the draft pick is no longer included if they were to pick him up. As far as the contract and money situation goes, I don't know. I assume if the Saints, they've been together for 16 years, right?
Yeah.
Coach 15, because I forgot about the Bounding Gate situation. Then I assume they'll let him out. He ain't going to get anything from him.
Well, what I'm looking at from Pro Football Talk, they're saying that it'd be hard for, well, Jerry Jones, because he has a coach now, he'd have to fire Mike McCarthy. But then you just can't hire him because then you already make it seem like it's a sham to Rooney Rule because you have to, you know, interview minority candidates before you can even think about trying to hire a coach or whatever. So to do that and then just to hire him anyway, it's not a good look for the league and for the Rooney Rule itself. And then but from what I'm seeing, he would have the Saints. The Saints would allow the Cowboys to hire him if, like you said, if they worked out a compensation deal to where it could be money, it could be draft picks. I mean, I think it's up to the teams to decide. It doesn't necessarily have to be draft picks if that's the case. But I mean, if the Cowboys got him the spirit, so be it.
He is the best coach on the market.
Well, he's the most accomplished coach. I'm not gonna say he's the best coach because
you go 9-8 with Taysom Hill and Trevor Siemian.
I mean, Brian Flores went 9-8 after going.
Sure,
after
I think Brian Flores is a great head coach.
Yeah, so I'm saying. So, I mean, you know, there are levels to this. Now,
sure.
I think he is a good coach, but I can't say, you know, because Doug Peterson's on the market. I think
Doug Peterson's a fine head coach too.
You know, so I don't want to get into, you know, if he's the best on the market. He is one of the best that's on the market as a head coach / former head coach. Because I do think that there are people who are, I mean, because Todd Bowles Todd Bowles is a former head coach, but not a Super Bowl winning head coach, but, you know, he does have obviously a title with the Bucs. So, I mean, there are other coaches that I think could do a better job. But again, everything to me is, and we've had this conversation before, it all goes hand in hand from the, you know, the organization, the owner, the coach, the GM, all this stuff has to be a good to great fit. That's what we have here in Kansas City. I think there were, you know, to an extent, the Bucs, because, you know, the organization, everything was already in place. You just need a quarterback outside of Jameson. Obviously, New England, you know, to an extent because of what had been there over 20 years. So, I mean, so there are good franchises that have rock-solid pieces in place and pieces that don't have that type of turnover that you see in other cities. Obviously, Kansas City, I think, is at the top of it right now. So, he would, I mean, the problem with the Cowboys is Jerry Jones. I mean, Stephen Jones is there, he has a title, but his dad is the owner, the president, and the GM, and I think Stephen is probably like the GM, but entitled only. I mean, so Jerry Jones does, you know, he has that on his business card, like, he's all that in it, but so he's the final decision maker, where at least, like you say, here in Kansas City, you got Clark, you got Mark Donovan, you got Andy Reid, you got Brett Veach. So there's like, you know, those
distinctions.
Three,
there's distinctions.
Yeah, and those three all have different jobs, and they all report directly to, you know, to Clark, and then people, you know, report to them underneath. So
Saints are a good organization. Their issue right now is, and I get why he wants out, the amount of stress he's been under the past few seasons and the fact that they're about to be in cap hell. They're about to have an absolute fire. So Michael Thomas won't be there next year.
But he's also been there 6 years. I mean, 6 years is still a long time.
Long time. And guess what? Some of the decisions why they're in cap hell is because of Sean Payton. Let's not get it twisted.
Yeah, look what he did for Taysom Hill.
I mean, exactly. And he's not the GM. But when he says, I want Taysom Hill, when I want to give Michael Thomas his contract, I want Alvin Kamara to get this contract, he was a big reason why these dudes got paid. So good for him, but also he was part of the reason they're in this situation. Marshawn Lattimore, come check out KC next year.
But you know what it is, though? And it hasn't really been good. I guess you could say to an extent Bill Belichick is an exception to the rule, because I think he has the GM hat at the Patriots, even though I
don't know if he still
does.
He did for a long time.
Yeah, but a lot of times when you have coaches that are also the general manager play that role, I mean, it takes a lot away from what you're able to do coaching on the court or on the field, because I think Doc Rivers had that distinction when he was with the Clippers, and then once they gave it to Jerry West, he was able to coach, you know, without having to worry about the day-to-day operations. So when you have someone like Sean Payton, like you said, that's making those type of decisions, and you still have to worry about X's and O's, and you have to worry about the cap and all this, I mean, that's just too much.
Yeah.
And it's just because I think Andy Reid was probably trying to do it. I don't know if he did it in Philly or it just felt that way. What I'm saying is, like, he was having a power struggle with John Dorsey, and it's like, man, this coach, dude, like, now, I don't know if they got the struggle because of who he wanted or he thought maybe, you know, let's not sign that kind of money, you know, contract purgatory, something like that. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I think Bill Belichick is the exception to the rule. But even then, he wasn't bringing nobody in. So you start to think, well, where's all this money going if everybody's taking hometown discounts? Like, where is the money going? Because you don't need it there's no salary cap for coaches and stuff like that. So, you know. I mean, he's probably getting paid $20 million a year.
They just kept kicking the buck down the line, the Saints did, and now it's time to pay the piper.
You got to pay the devil.
And they're going to have a tough situation because their defense is incredible, right? But they already couldn't keep – because Trey Hendrickson, you know, the best D-end for the Bengals, who the Chiefs will see, well, he was a Saint last year.
Yeah.
And he was, like, the third best defensive player on that team. I mean – on the line. I mean, the Saints have a ton of good players defensively, good offensive line, good players, but they have a lot of money sunk into a lot of costs, and that's not the quarterback position. Taysom Hill's getting a pretty penny, right? But it's not anything to what Kirk Cousins or Mahomes or Russell Wilson or Rodgers. Like, that's what's almost impressive is think of the Saints' cap situation, and they're still not paying a top-end quarterback. It could get really ugly down there.
No, I agree. Put yourself in a situation. But see, that's the beauty about pro sports is you can get yourself out of that situation. And he was able to leave and walk away without having to get fired. And so,
do you think the Saints will be a top job, or do you think it's going to be one of those ones where it seems good on paper until you break it down, like we just did with the cap situation, and go,
it's
sure,
better than Jacksonville, but I'm not really sure. I mean, it's funny while you're trying to explain that or put your question out, I'm sitting there thinking about that. Is that a desk? Because people say, well, Aaron Rodgers will want to go there. But I'm like, they don't salary cap, you just can't make the numbers work. And everybody says, oh, well, you can do something. Nah, I mean, some things are just hard. And that's a hard cap dealing with them, especially with what, you know, facing the fact that they have no money there. I mean, it would be good because, yes. It will still be good because if you get Michael Thomas back and he's got the right mindset and he's healthy, Alvin Kamara's healthy, that defense I think is still down there. I mean, I don't know, you know, depending on who you re-sign or whatever or who's on the contract, I think that defense is still solid. I think if you come in, see, problem is that, you know, I mean, problem is at the end of the day is going to be your quarterback situation. And that's the problem because – what this weekend has showed you is that most of the weekend has showed you that you need a top tier quarterback to win. You know, outside of Jimmy Garoppolo, I think Joe Burrow has proven to be, you know, one of the best young kids, mm-hmm. or young quarterbacks in the NFL. Obviously, you know, we know what Matthew Stafford is. We already know what Patrick Mahomes is, and you know, we don't really believe too much in Jimmy Garoppolo, but he has a great defense and a head coach. So, but knowing what you're going to be facing in the future in the AFC and the NFC, yeah, you've got to get your quarterback situation taken care of. And for any coach that comes in, that's question number one. Now, I don't know if that's a question that he needs to have an answer to when they're going for a job interview, or a question he needs to have to the owner and the GM, like, what's your quarterback situation going to be?
Right now, looking at it, the Saints by far have the worst cap situation next year. For example, right now the Green Bay Packers are at 31 in cap situation at negative $38 million. Saints are the worst at negative $71 million.
Huh?
Yeah. Saints are projected negative $71 million in the salary cap next year. So they're going to have a fire sale. Chiefs, on the other hand, for all the talk about what are they going to do, paying Patrick and Travis and Tyreek, all those guys, Chris Jones, well, they're right in the middle at 16th with $21 million is the projected number they'll have in salary cap space if they do nothing.
They'll have $21 million in salary cap space?
Yep. Right now, the Chiefs do nothing.
Oh, yeah. They okay there.
They're 16th in the NFL. So remember all that talk about how they won't be able to pay anyone? They're screwed. Well, they're not. The Saints are. Chiefs aren't. No, I'm with you. But what's interesting is Kansas City might be in the market for some of the Saints players. Marshawn Lattimore? Would you mind Marshawn Lattimore coming to KC? Locking down one of the cornerback positions? Set it and forget it? That bumps L'Jarius Sneed inside full-time.
Yeah, I would never problem at all with that.
Moves Javarius to number two. Rashad Fenton comes in to spell, guys.
No, I'm with that.
I'm just saying, I know this is a little bit down the road. I know the Chiefs have a game on Sunday for the AFC Championship game, but it is fun to put your GM hat on when you look at what is going to be a fire sale potentially in New Orleans. Head coach leaving. It comes down to which player's next. It's Michael Thomas. Chiefs wouldn't mind having a guy like that. They need a possession wide receiver.
Well, but he's also number one, too. He's a number one.
Sure.
But you know what?
Patrick can give him the ball.
I would take him. I mean, look, and here's the thing. Now you bring Michael Thomas in, you can't double anybody. You can't double tie. You double tie. I mean, the dude led the league in catches and receiving yards before. So, and he's a big wide receiver as well. He got great hands. You put him out there with Tyreek and Travis, and of course you got you can have McColl in the third slot. Nah, if I'm Roger Goodell, I'm not even signing off on that one. It would be unfair.
But the
only question would be if they can make the money work, because he's got a big contract.
Sure, that's the reason.
Yeah, well, say that's the reason why you can see them letting them go, because question is how much. If he doesn't have any guarantee money left, then it's basically just.
No, he's got some guaranteed money left. I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but he just signed. It was at the time.
I thought it was like 2-3 years ago.
I think it was only two, and he was out all this year. So there's going to be some contract scenarios that are going to be very interesting to watch. But I do want to say Chicago Bears finalizing a deal to hire Kansas City Chiefs exec director of player personnel Ryan Poles as their next GM. Kansas City Chiefs, their front office, they're going everywhere, man. I mean, how many former Kansas City Chiefs, even GMs, are now literally – I mean, Ballard, right?
Well, the fact that this dude's only been in this position for 1 year.
Crazy. And he was a finalist in 3 out of 4 GM vacancies. I don't know what his interview process was. I don't know what he has done.
I ain't gonna lie. I mean, in this 1 year, I don't know what he's done either. But I will say this. When I saw a picture, I was like, I literally see this dude at every single game. Like, Steve and I sit up at the top on the top row of the press row, so we can see down on everybody. And there's four sections too. We sit in section C. He literally sits right next to us in section D. I've never had a conversation with him. I don't know him from the man in the moon. But Lee was like, "Dan, you better introduce yourself." I'm like, "Well, what? He's going to be out to Chicago." I said, "I'll offer him a rib or something as a congratulations."
Dude's 36 years old.
36 years
old. I'm looking
old.
At I had no idea what it looked like.
Trust me, because I was. I'm glad he tweeted. I was like, "Man, I hope they interview some black kids." And they're like, "Oh, he's black." I think, "Oh, he's black." I said, like, "Ooh, thank goodness I didn't tweet that out."
Yeah, Darren, that'd have been great, huh?
They'd have been like, "Damn, Darren, you don't even know who's in the press box." Like, obviously, and what's funny is, it's like he sits behind, like Steve and I when we're on the road. You know, like the Chiefs, they travel stuff. You know, the front office, they travel, and even when we're on the road. They are like in the elevator and stuff with them. I just, you know, because it is funny. It's not that we don't talk. I mean, because we'll talk to Brett Veach. I'll talk to Brett and I'll talk to Mark for simple, because they're the ones that are generally in front of us when we talk. We've never had a reason to talk to, you know, to Ryan direct, because, I mean, he has no reason to speak to the media. So,
sure.
It's one of those things. So, it was like, to find out him, I was like, oh, man, hell, I've been seeing him for the last 2-3 years, you know. He's
pretty cool,
and he's big. I mean, you'd think he might have played football or something, look like some big offensive lineman, but you know, young guy, you know, seems to be a nice kid. Real quiet though. I mean, in the press, he's very quiet. So it's like, you know, I mean, might have
love them smart guys are.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, well, because you know, they can, like, yeah, you know, root cheer, you know, kind of do stuff or whatever. Like Sunday night. While they were standing up getting frisky and stuff, where they were sitting there, I was sitting up getting frisky and, you know, shouting some MFs and stuff in the press box and everything. And I'm just, you know, and then of course, when they got the touchdowns, I'm the one kind of like, come on, I'm clapping, I'm happy, because I'm like, yeah, Jeff, you owe me two damn dinners now. You know, because that was a bet on that game that it was double or nothing, so.
Oh, you were sweating.
I was more than sweating, man.
But now you're going to be getting the meat sweats on when Jeff Jadeau is buying you multiple
man,
dinners.
I felt like they, you know, like they ripped my drawers from me, man, and had it laid out in the streets or whatever. So, yeah, it was bad.
Well, good for Ryan Poles. Cool for Kansas City. It seems like they're consistently getting guys
and
from the organization.
And because of that, the Chiefs get an extra draft pick. I think they get a third round draft pick.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, compensatory. Yeah, because, you know, when the team hires away an African, that's like a reward or something that you get from the NFL.
That's double win.
I think the Bears get something as well. So, yeah.
We'll wish them success in Chicago, because obviously we have no ties to Chicago. We have no.
Maybe he brings Eric Bieniemy with him.
Who knows? We've talked about it. Although I don't know if they want to go back-to-back KC head coaches. Although Matt Nagy, I want to continue to say this because I feel like I have to. Matt Nagy got, I feel like, one of the worst raps for being a very average head coach.
But again, I go back. Nagy shot himself in the foot. Look, everybody's not Andy Reid. Everybody, just because you were under Andy Reid when Patrick Mahomes was here, doesn't mean you're Andy Reid. Like that, how he did it, it doesn't just come to you by osmosis. Because one, Andy Dalton was never going to be Alex Smith. He was never, because he sure. didn't, he wasn't trying to be. And so, you know, you can't. I mean, this dude's trying to. He was just a backup at Dallas and got to play starter when Dak got injured. Then you sign him. So he's under the impression he's going to be the starting quarterback. Then you turn around and draft a quarterback. He didn't sign up for that. So you can't, say that this is a process, because Andy Dalton's thinking, well, hell, if I go 12-5, what the hell? I mean, I'm not giving up this job for him, because he still felt like he can play. And to his credit, I feel him, because he's at least led his team to the playoffs, I think, 5 times. With the Bengals. Now, they didn't advance, but he won division titles and he still led them to the playoffs. I mean, that still counts for something. So, no, and Nagy doing that back and forth stuff about him starting and playing, look, man, if you're going to draft a quarterback that high, you either going to not play him, This is such and such team. He's not playing. He's going to sit. And if he gets injured, then you go to Nick Foles. He's third string. Otherwise, this is the same mistake that Bill O'Brien made. You put him with the first team right out the gate. So he can build that rapport. Look, man, for all of Trevor Lawrence's ups and downs in the NFL, he made it through the year. I mean, and but
that team was horrible. The Bears thought that if they were decent, they could make a playoff push.
They would be horrible. They would have been horrible had he not been starting. But the thing is, the best way to learn is on-the-job training. I mean, he's not going to learn holding a clipboard.
No, I agree. I think that it was a different situation, though. The Bears thought that they could make the playoffs at maybe 9-8 with the 7 playoff spots, right? They go, if we go 9-8, we can sniff a playoff opportunity. We think right now Andy Dalton or Nick Foles might get us 9 wins.
Right.
Justin Fields, we have no idea.
Right, but again, that's the problem. If you're going to draft him that high and you know he's going to be the franchise. Now, look, I'm not saying a situation like Kansas City is not. But what I'm saying is because of that town, and to me, Justin Fields built up enough moxie during his time at Ohio State. I mean, he played in front of big crowds, so I'm not worried about him being, quote-unquote, nervous or, you know, throwing up like your boy in the Super Bowl, Eagles.
McNabb?
Yeah, McNabb, No. I mean, I think, now this is my opinion, but I feel like if you put him with the starting unit, just like you did Trevor Lawrence or whatever, you know, you come out, he's going to be with the runs. Again, you got to remember, even Allen Robinson said that they got to build rapport because, you know, I mean, he wasn't working with the first team. Give him a chance to work with the first team so you get a chance to see his strengths, his weaknesses, be able to design and call plays that cater to his strength. And then, you know, and obviously, you know, you still had your defense was still solid, you know, before the season started. So you can run the football. You had a good running back. You do have Allen Robinson. I'm saying so you had players that could take the pressure off of Justin Fields. So he doesn't have to be the reason why you know, go 9-8. I mean, you run the football, play smash mouth defense, and just make play. Look, he could have done the whole Mac Jones thing. You know what I'm saying? Just don't be the reason why you're turning the football over. But again, they got rid of Cam Newton. They put the trust in Mac Jones to just operate the offense, and he led them to a playoff.
Yeah. And it's funny because –
that's all I'm saying. I mean, so
New England's not some super talented team.
But, okay, which team would you have said if they were starting at the beginning of the season – would you have gone with the Bears because of their team? Because I know how you like Allen Robinson and their running. Would you have gone with the Bears or would you have gone with the Patriots?
With a better record?
Better record or to make the playoffs?
Better record, I would go with Patriots. To make the playoffs, I probably would have gone with the Bears because I think my thinking going into this year would have been the Bears might have made it at 9-8. That's what I thought. The last spot in the NFC was going to be. Well, I thought the AFC was going to be deeper. I thought, for example, you would need maybe 10-plus wins.
Yeah.
Because I thought, like, the Chargers were going to be at least a 10-win team. I thought Miami was going to be above New England. I thought they were going to be right there, like, maybe 10 wins apiece. Again, I'm with you. I think both had similar roster constructions. They're built on the defense. They both are built on the run game. Mac Jones had a better head coach.
Yeah, well, again, but that's not just – that's again, that's a disqualification for Nagy because he thought he was better than what he was trying to
– but ain't no one Bill Belichick.
No. I get it. But, again, sometimes we talk about pride, man. Sometimes you make things harder than what it needs to be. Like, you don't have to – head coaches, some people try to be the smartest person in the room instead of just doing the right thing. And the right thing was – could have been, probably possibly should have been, because you had injuries from all three quarterbacks. If you just go with him and the GM and the owner could have made that decision too. You draft him, you go with Justin Fields just like New York went with the Wilson kid.
If you do it, you got to stick by it.
I agree. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But you know, you shuffling this stuff around doesn't do anything for him, doesn't do anything for your team, and at the end of the day, you're robbing your players and your fan base of a year because you're sitting there doing all the jigsaw stuff without just you know, commit to that quarterback and just riding it through. Because at the end of the day, you're thinking that you're going to be able to hit your ride to him. Like, well, if I do this, if I hold him off here, that'll save me for a year, bro. That ain't guaranteed to you.
And it did not save him. We do have to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll be joined by Jeffrey Shadia of the NFL Network. Darren and Sterling here, ESPN, Kansas City.
Hi, Ollie Gates here. The Gates family would like to say thank you for allowing us to serve you for 75 years, a milestone which would not have been possible without your support. Thanks again, and remember, whatever the case may be, keep the faith.
Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Join now Jeffrey Chedia of NFL Network. So, I heard you and Darren doubled down. I got to know how this went.
It went. He was looking for his testicles all week long, and then he found them literally as I walked into the stadium. Sat down, he came running over me. I'll pick that bet right now. That's how it happened. So,
well, first of all, we agree. I had up until kickoff, and literally, you know, Jeff comes in at the last minute. I'm like, what the hell? You know, I see his name on the seat chart, but I'm like, dude ain't here. Like, I ain't seen him. You know, he ain't come find me. Like, you want to make the bet? You gonna make the bet? So, you know, right before kickoff, I was like, you know what? No, I'm all in. So I ran down and found him, and it's like, let's do it, let's bake it. He was like, okay. So he had to tell me twice.
I think he literally ran over Haley Lewis on the way to me, like,
out of
the way, trying to extend his hand to get to me.
It was like Travis Kelce blocking for Tyreek Hill on that 13-second
play.
Well, see, the thing is, if I didn't do it and they kicked the ball off, now it's too late. Now, granted, I would still win my one dinner, but what's two? You know, so.
Hey, yeah.
You're living dangerously.
You're looking pretty good right now, though.
Oh! Hey, so you're ready to just cash it in now, huh? You just want to say just forget Sunday's game.
I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
I think you're looking pretty good right now.
I didn't think so. Okay, well. Okay, so would you want to double down on that? Make it four? Make it light on yourself?
I'm good at two.
See what I'm talking about?
There's no reason for me to quadruple it up at this stage.
Oh, it's one of the few times I feel like Jeff's actually going to pick the Chiefs, right? Is that what it is?
Well, at this point in the season, and most national people would tell you this, you root for the best possible matchup. And so the best possible matchup would be Chiefs and Rams in the Super Bowl. So that's what I'd prefer to see. So that's where my interest lay, selfishly. But if it ends up being Bengals, 49ers, then we'll find a way to make it work too.
Ugh. Yeah, that'd be a rematch with 1988.
All I got to say is if Chiefs-Rams happen, and that's my pick for this year before the preseason started, and Darren picked Bucks-Chiefs last year, this show is doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good picking the preseason Super Bowl matchups.
I'll take it. But yeah, at this point, I will say this: I'm not putting anything past anything happening after what happened this past weekend.
That part is true. Speaking of which, man, what were your thoughts on the divisional matchup weekend that you saw?
It was wild. You know, it was much better than the previous round, you know, by a long shot. But it just speaks to the parity. It speaks to the way this year has played out, that anybody can beat anybody at any time. If you had told me that the Bengals would beat the Titans after Joe Burrow got sacked 9 times, or that the Packers would score 10 points in Lambeau Field and lose to a team that scored 6 on offense, or that the Buccaneers would trail 27-3 in the third quarter of a game and end up tying it up and lose on a all-out blitz. I would better chance of curing cancer and all that stuff happen. I think the only thing that was ultimately that rang true was because we saw a great game in Arrowhead.
Yeah.
So, speaking of that game at Arrowhead, is this finally putting to rest all of the Mahomes versus this guy, Mahomes versus this guy, Mahomes versus Lamar versus Herbert versus Burrow? Is it now Mahomes versus Josh Allen? And do you think we'll finally see an actual overtime change when it comes to the coin flip?
Well, I think all those guys are going to be, lumped together for the rest of their careers. And I know Mahomes has had a phenomenal head start and had a phenomenal career so far, but if you watch that game, you saw what Josh Allen is now. Not what he can be, what he is. If you watch the way the Bengals have played this year with Joe Burrow at quarterback, you see what he's become. Justin Herbert was the rookie of the year last year and whatever, a Pro Bowl player this year. And so I say this all the time. Like, every decade you're going to have four, five, six guys who are going to emerge at that position, who are going to be Hall of Fame caliber, who are going to win MVPs, who are going to win championships. And that's not a knock on Patrick Mahomes. It's just a reality that you're going to have more great players evolve. And what made that game so special was that you saw what it can be. You don't get Ali without Frazier. You don't get Magic without Bird. You know, you got to have some people who push you to another level. And that's probably the best I've ever seen Patrick Mahomes play football. And he's had some amazing games, but he had to go to that level to win because the other guy was that good. And so, and I think Patrick knew that after the game because he went and found him right after they scored that game winning touchdown and embraced, because he knew the magnitude of what had happened. And he knew what it was like to be at on the losing side of those kind of games. But as far as the overtime part of it, I don't have a problem with the rule. I mean, you have to play defense in this game. You get opportunities to play defense. Buffalo did not play it well enough to win the game. And that's where I stand on it.
I get that. And I know a lot of Chiefs fans keep bringing up the whole, well, the Chiefs tried to change it in, what was it, 2019, after the 2018 season. They said, like, the Bills owner, he was one of the guys that said, no, we don't want to change the rule. Just as a fan, I think it makes it more fair. As a fan watching this game, taking my Chiefs fandom out of the equation, I would like to see Josh Allen try to get his chance to go up against and take the ball. Because, sure, the Bills' defense, and they had a play, and they're touted as a, number one in DVOA and number one in EPA, all those fun stats. But at the end of the day, whoever won that coin toss was going to win that game. There was no denying that. And so, as a fan, I would have loved to see Josh Allen try and go toe for toe and match what Patrick Mahomes did.
And I get all that, but ultimately the NFL has got, 32 teams? So you're playing 16 games on which we don't have buys, and you're trying to fit all those games into a window where TV sponsors can get their ads in and you can monitor the next game in a timely manner. You watch college football, and people love their overtime rule, but those games last 5 hours sometimes.
Sure.
And so that's the problem. It's like, it's not so much about the competitiveness of it. It's about making money and trying to make everybody happy, trying to make sponsors happy. And so I hear what you're saying. I understand the argument of it. But ultimately, if you really go back and look at it, there's plenty of games that end in ties in this league that go into overtime. Probably the bulk of them actually do. There's probably very seldom are we in a situation where you actually have the we're talking about here, where you've got a great quarterback on one side or a great offense and a good chance to do something. But again, that's just the way the rules are set. And if you're going to have some kind of a change, then you risk having some really bad teams playing really long overtime games. I'm not down for that either.
Just playoff time. Just come playoff time, switch the rules, and maybe that way, I love Pepsi, but maybe they don't need that extra $3 million sponsorship commercial. They can wait.
Try telling that to Clark Hunt. Jerry Jones.
So, Jeff, I mean, we look at, obviously, just your quick thoughts. We see that Sean Payton decided to step down as the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. You got any thoughts on that?
My initial reaction is he probably realized I can't have another year where I'm trying to coach Taysom Hill and Trevor Siemian at quarterback. Life was a lot easier when Drew Brees was playing. Like, he wasn't having these thoughts when he had a Hall of Fame quarterback. But I think any amount of time you spend coaching the NFL, or anybody you talk to who's done it for any period of time, will tell you it's a really hard job. It's a really stressful job. It's a taxing job. He's done it for 15 years in the same place. He's had a lot of success. He's dealt with, obviously, the hurricane situation last year. They've had multiple things happen down there off the field where, you know, players like Will Smith was shot, one of his players was killed a few years back. And so emotionally, I think it's draining. That's why I always wonder with Andy Reid, how much longer can you do this? Because at some point, it's like your body, your mind, your soul, it's like it takes something out of you. And so I don't have any problem with it. I imagine this is probably more of a recharging than a retirement, because we all know he coached in Dallas and he was offensive coordinator and he left there to go coach with the Saints. We know there's a lot of talk about Mike McCarthy's future there after what happened this past year. And, you know, it's not hard to foresee a scenario where Mike McCarthy is gone after next year. John Payton is part of a trade package, winds up in Dallas, and he's the Cowboys coach for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, but the only problem is, you know, you got the whole Rooney Rule. I know they don't really care too much about it in Dallas or some other places, but, you know, you just can't have something like that orchestrated without it drawing attention. But that's another discussion for another day. But, Jeff, we're looking at this weekend's matchups in the championship games. Of course, we have in the second game, you've got the Los Angeles Rams hosting the San Francisco 49ers. Of course, these two teams just met up 3 weeks ago. Two weeks ago. And wanted to get your thoughts on that matchup. Who you think wins and advances to Super Bowl 56?
Well, I think the Rams win. I think this is very similar to what happened with the Bucks last year. The Saints beat them twice, destroyed them, really. And then they got up in the playoff game and finally to get that win. And look, I have a lot of respect for the 49ers. I've known John Lynch forever. I've known people in their front office and coaching staff forever. I know D'Amico Ryans when he was a player. That offense is horrible right now. Like, it is on fumes. It is literally, they've scored 23 points in the postseason on offense. Their quarterback is beat up. It's hard for me to imagine, as well as they're playing defensively, as tough as they are, as much as they've owned the Rams, that they're going to find a way to win this game. You know, the Rams may be kind of a – you never know what you're going to get from them type team, but I know they got a lot of offense. I know they got a pretty good pass rush. I know they have Jalen Ramsey. If they get up 17-0 again, no comebacks are happening this time around.
I'm with you. It's weird, though, because as – with the same things you say about the Rams against the Niners in this game, you kind of said the same thing about Green Bay against the Niners in the previous game. Who has the better quarterback? Who has maybe the best wide receiver? I know the defense of the Rams, I think, is more explosive than some of the guys on Green Bay, but San Francisco keeps bucking that trend. I don't think they're going to hold the Rams to 10 points and only one touchdown, but we did not think that they were going to hold the MVP and Aaron Rodgers to one touchdown. How are the 49ers, I guess, able to continuously buck that trend of winning big games with, I like to think, a pretty poor quarterback?
Yeah. Well, they hang around. They hang around. They wait for their chances. I mean, Green Bay would have won that game if they found a way to block for a punt with 4 minutes left in the game. I've never seen that happen before, where you're up at home in a playoff game and you get a punt blocked against you, and next thing you know, the score's tied. And so that's, you know, you can't bet on that stuff happening every week. And you can't bet on Dallas having a chance to go down and kick a field goal and running out the clock because they run a quarterback draw and they can't get lined up in time before the clock runs out. You know, in some ways, they've gotten some good breaks. They've made their own breaks. But my issue with the 49ers is just that you get this deep into the postseason, that stuff can get you by a divisional opponent, and it can get you by a wild card round opponent. It ain't getting you to a Super Bowl. Yeah. You know, that's especially against a team that you've beaten six times, a team where the best thing the Rams could have happened to them this weekend was that Matthew Stafford came out and balled out. You know, you can talk about the fumbles and some of the mistakes they made, the missed field goals, but he played great in that game. And so the confidence they should have in their offense and their ability to go out and score points, you know, and really to get after Garoppolo. If Trent Williams isn't playing this game, he's got an ankle injury he's nursing. Von Miller, Leonard Floyd, Aaron Donald, they're going to have a field day.
We look at the first game. You got the Cincinnati Bengals who beat Kansas City 3 weeks ago, traveling to Arrowhead. Joe Burrow's been known to say that he thinks SEC crowds are much louder. He's going to be in for a rude awakening on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Who wins this game and who advances to face off against the Rams, in your opinion?
Well, you got the Chiefs just because they just won a huge game that was against the second best team in the AFC. A game that people think would have determined who was going to represent the AFC. So everything is in their favor. But like I said, strange things have happened. I look at the Chiefs, the thing that is going to be intriguing is, does Tyrann Mathieu clear concussion protocol? And is Rashad Penn able to play in this game? Because he missed the last two with a back injury. And if those two players are out, the Bengals have some things working in their favor that could lead to an upset. You saw what Josh Allen did without those two guys out there. It's hard to imagine that Joe Burrow can have the same kind of success. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game regardless. But the Chiefs should win. The Chiefs should win because they're the better team. But
I also saw Joe Burrow get sacked 9 times, too.
What's that?
So I also saw Joe Burrow get sacked 9 times, too.
Hey, he didn't get sacked 9 times against the Chiefs, though.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, well, yeah. So,
Okay, well, I also saw Melvin Ingram throw dude down with one arm, and Josh Allen's a lot bigger, stronger, and more mobile than Joe Burrow. I don't think – for example, I thought the Chiefs' pass rush wasn't horrible. They were getting pressure on Josh Allen. They just could not bring him down. I think they could bring down Joe Burrow given a similar circumstance.
Well, they could, but I don't think the Chiefs' pass rush has been that great over the last month. And I don't know why that is, but again, and Chris Jones actually played well against him the first time around. Just to be clear, I'm not picking the Chiefs to lose this game. I'm just making a point that defensively, outside of playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have an incredibly, abysmal offense, they've had four really tough games. And so they've got to prove that they can get back to being that defense they were. Whatever it was, and they had an 8-game winning streak because they give up some points and some yards.
Well, Jeff, we appreciate that, and definitely. So you've got the Chiefs and the Rams, of course. If that matchup does take place, you and I will be inside of SoFi Stadium watching the game. Of course, we'll have to have you back on well before then to get your Super Bowl.
You got that red suit on?
Are you talking about
that Ronald McDonald suit?
You
a half burglar. About Sterling.
I'll bring a purple suit and dress up like Grimace.
Jeff. I'm trying to figure out why you hating. I mean, is very unbecoming of you. Very unprofessional of you. I mean, Clark Hunt loved it. The people loved it.
It's a public venue, man. Don't put that stuff out there if you don't want to hear feedback.
Hold on. First of all, compared to what you have on, I was looking mighty dapper, okay?
So, he was probably wearing workout clothes. I know, Jeff.
Yeah, exactly. dressing all unprofessional in a press box, working for the NFL Network. But look, you can say all that. You can say Ronald McDonald. I know one thing. Your wallet ain't going to say Ronald McDonald by the time I finish with you in Los Angeles. So, because not only one night, two nights you taking me out to dinner. Trust and believe that. Okay. I'm eating well.
I think I took you out to lunch, didn't I?
No.
It was breakfast.
It was over at 239 for my payback.
Well, hold on. You got to choose where you wanted to go. I'm choosing where I want to go when we get to L.A. So trust and believe.
Okay.
I'm going to eat well, and you're going to regret talking about me in my red suit. But, Jeff, hey, man, you're at the game Sunday, right?
I'll be there.
All right, man. I'll see you there, brother. Take care, man. Wish the family well, and see you on Sunday. And we're going to take a quick time out. You're listening to Darren and Sterling right here on ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back to Darren and Sterling here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. You and Shadia getting into it. I like that.
Yeah, man, so, yeah. About that life. He ain't about that life. He ain't ready for what would be coming. He ain't ready for what would be coming.
Man, you're going to be an expensive date for him, not once but twice.
Hey, you notice he had to concede. Like, I ain't got no choice. You're right. You talk all that stuff. Ronald McDonald's, we are not going to McDonald's for dinner.
Also couldn't help but notice he wasn't going to throw down that quad.
Exactly.
Quad or nothing.
You notice all that noise he was popping last week.
Well, he believed in the Bills. Yeah. He ain't believing in the Bengals.
Exactly. So he's like, and then if they were to somehow win, oh, see her, dude. You know, because
he might believe in the Rams, though.
Yeah. Oh, well, hey. But by that time, I would have already had my two meals.
Well, maybe he's going to try and throw something down.
I mean, he can, but I ain't got a ticket.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
I'm gonna get my two meals. I'm gonna eat well. When he says, "Oh, this is the best of one's game," I'm good, bro. I'm good. I'm good. I got nothing to prove. My team made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that Browns pick ain't working out too good for him. Gosh. I love how he goes, "Well, I threw a team out there. Well, why wasn't it Houston or Jacksonville then, huh?"
Right. Like, if you're gonna throw a team out there, I'm like, bro, you could have. Why you just throw the Bills out there?
Why not throw the Bills? Why not throw? Yeah, that still makes me laugh. But Darren, this was fun. We'll be back live in studio tomorrow from 3 to 4 p.m. right here on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Thank you again to Jeffrey Chedia, NFL Network. Thank you again to him for buying Darren two meals out there in L.A.
Well, he ain't bought them yet, but he will.